Welcome to today's podcast episode, where we delve into how e-mobility can unlock new opportunity to greater gender equity and inclusivity. Our first guest is Manisha Sharma. She is a senior project associate at the Urban Catalyst. Since the start of her career and has been working on the intersectionality of the gender and urban transport. Currently, she is coordinating a UK aid-funded project focused on gender-responsive electric mobility systems. The Urban Catalyst work toward transforming transport and cities to mitigate and adapt to climate change, create vibrant public spaces for all genders, and design participatory processes to reconceptualize cities and transport. Joining us as well is Krishna Desai, a dedicated technical advisor at GIZ, bringing in 10 years of experience in urban and transportation planning. Krishna has a diverse background of working on gender, urban transport, financial feasibility, and institutional and legislative frameworks. Today, she will share some of her insight on gender inclusion in the e-mobility transition based on her work in GIZ. We are thrilled to have both Manisha and Krishna on board. Welcome to the podcast.
So, how do you see e-mobility playing a role in advancing gender equity, and what opportunities does it present for creating an actually more inclusive transportation system? Manisha, you really focus on user experience. How do you see e-mobility contributing to a more gender-inclusive and positive experience?
Thank you so much, Emma, for inviting me to this podcast. As we all know, that gender differences and inequity in mobility in terms of travel behavior, like in travel mode, times, distances, trip patterns, and also the experience of travel, like comfort, affordability, accessibility, are recognized in the literature, and women often face disadvantages in these aspects. And it is also well recognized that, you know, absence of gender disaggregated data is one of the major obstructions in developing gender-responsive public transport. And I'm currently focusing on public transportation, especially buses, because it is the predominant mode of use, because it is predominant mode used by women after walking. So though we don't have a magic wand which we can use to, you know, make our public transportation system gender inclusive or gender responsive, but I think this transition to electric mobility presents a unique opportunity to develop gender responsive public transport. In addition to, you know, recently in India, interim budget 2024 has been released, and Indian government has allocated around 1300 crore rupees to procure electric buses under the PM E-Bus Seva scheme. So I think this is the right moment. We take the step towards making our upcoming or existing public transportation system, bus-based public transportation system, gender responsive. So I'll give you context. So currently we are working on a project called Safe and Secure Public Transportation Delhi. And the aim of this project is to use this opportunity of transition to electric buses as well as digitalization of ticketing system that Delhi is trying to do to make travel safer for female commuter as well as to address the service gaps. So during the survey project, what we had done is we had spoke to multiple women. We had done multiple surveys, had a one-on-one conversation with female commuters, and we found that female commuters are preferring electric buses over the existing CNG buses in Delhi. You know, around 87% of surveyed female commuters stated that they prefer electric buses. And I think this 87% is a huge number. And women said that they are preferring electric buses because these buses are quieter, cleaner, and have better air conditioning systems. However, they also mentioned experiencing nausea during their travels. And, you know, after seeing that, you know, Delhi has around 1,300 electric buses, and they're planning to have around 8,000 electric buses by 2024. And the push from the central government to procure more electric buses in cities, I think if we are getting a lot, so many of electric buses on board, we should look at the design of these electric buses from the gender lens. For example, a quick thing, all these electric buses which are being procured have CCTV cameras, SOS button, which is a panic button, which can be used during the emergency. But they are difficult to access by women of average height, which is around 5 feet in India. So this is a very small thing, but this also matters. Also, similarly, the height of grab bars, which we have to for support to hold for standing passengers, these all things can be tailored to accommodate the physiological characteristics of the female body. So I think these are nuanced details, but significant and impactful. The second thing I would like to point is that we have found that around 69% of female commuters do not feel safe while traveling inside the buses. And 21% have said that they do not feel safe while waiting at the bus stop. So actually in Delhi, all these buses, especially electric buses, have CCTV cameras, SOS or you can call it panic buttons inside the buses. They have helpline numbers which are available 24/7 to seek any help or information. And also, we have a Vandali application which is released by the Delhi government. And it serves multiple purposes, like you can buy a ticket, check real-time information, and also provide feedback. But interestingly, we found that female commuters are unaware of these initiatives. I think there exists a communication gap, particularly in the dissemination of information during the last leg of these efforts. So actually, only 2% of female commuters were aware of Vandali application, which can provide real-time information. You can buy tickets as well. You can check your routes. So I think this is important that, you know, they are not aware. And when the existing infrastructure is available for them to feel safe. It is also worth noting that we can also say that smartphone accessibility might be perceived as a barrier. But in our survey respondent, 77% of them actually had a smartphone. They were just simply not aware of the existence of the application that could assist them. This is same for the other features which are available in buses, like SOS or panic buttons. You know, in 2015, there is a bus marshal scheme in Delhi in which a personnel is being placed in buses to ensure safety of women. But female commuters are not aware of it. So currently, what we are doing is to address this last mile communication gap. We have launched a targeted awareness campaign. And as we are speaking, our team is on the site and they are providing awareness to female commuters about these initiatives that Delhi government has implemented for their safety as well as Vandali application to bridge that last mile gap so that female commuter can feel safe. And the last but not least, I want to point out that we all know that data is one of the major gaps we have in making gender-responsive public transportation. But in 2019, when Delhi government introduced this free bus travel scheme, what they started to do is that they issue pink tickets to female commuters. And I think it was the first time this has initiated a collection of gender-disaggregated ridership data, especially at a larger scale, that is the whole city level. So I think this is a noteworthy initial effort in the right direction. But what is going on is nowadays cities are trying to transition their digital ticketing system towards digitalization. So we have multiple ways to buy a ticket online through WhatsApp, Paytm, through Vandali application also you can buy, which will help us to capture more data apart from the ridership as well. And, you know, this transition to electric buses coupled with digitalization of the ticketing system can address the data gap that we have. So I think this is the time when we take use of this opportunity to address data gap, and based on this data, we address service gap based on this valuable information we are getting. This will help transport authorities to make travel safer and comfortable for female commuters. Thank you.
So thank you, Manisha, for introducing us into gender dynamics of traveling and also from your hands-on experience on the field. I think you're really providing us valuable insights. And moving on from the user experience to you, Krishna, you focus a lot on the drivers of buses and rickshaws. And could you elaborate on specific opportunities that arise in terms of creating more gender equity within this profession, especially with the context of e-mobility?
Hi, Emma. Thank you for this opportunity and for inviting me for this podcast. As you know, female labor force participation rate in most of the countries is found to be lower than that of men. In India, it is only 22%, as against 78% for men. In case of transport, the level of female inclusion is less than 5%. The reason for poor inclusion is multifold, ranging from societal and cultural barriers pertaining to a male-dominated sector, restrictions due to qualification criteria, presumption of long and odd working hours, and lack of amenities at the depots and terminals, and even at the office workplace. A worldwide transition is being seen towards electric mobility, which brings with itself new infrastructure, buses, depots, and terminals. This gives the public transit authority an opportunity to develop gender or women-friendly infrastructure systems. Plus, there is an ease in operating e-buses and e-rickshaws. The moving parts of the engine are reduced from 20,000 to around 2,000. Plus, an e-bus steering is very easy to operate. Same is the case with e-rickshaw. While there is always the opportunity at higher level, this ease also opens up the opportunity for bus drivers, bus maintenance, and charging infrastructure, and also data analysis system.
Thank you, Krishna, for introducing us into opportunities that might arise for a sector that is usually not female-dominated. Maybe following from that, what challenges do exist for creating, achieving gender equity in public transport, that e-mobility must overcome these challenges and hurdles as well, Krishna?
So Emma, as I mentioned already earlier, there are many challenges for women to enter the workforce, not just in transport sector, but in other sectors as well. When we look at the sector of city bus service in particular, there are multiple criteria which a person needs to fulfill to enter a bus service. Few aspects for a bus driver, which I can give an example of, is the criteria of having a 3 years of experience requirement. Post getting a heavy motor vehicle license is required if you want to drive a bus. So when we look at this criteria, it is very difficult to find a woman who actually might have a heavy motor vehicle license, let alone having an experience of 3 years also. Plus, in addition to that, there's the requirement of a height of 159 centimeter, which is much above the average Indian female height. Many states in India have reduced this criterion. States like Delhi and Karnataka have amended the Motor Vehicles Act, and the height requirement is reduced to 153 centimeters in both these states. Further, they have also reduced the experience criteria. They have reduced it from 3 months to just doing a training and having a test that they need to complete to go on to work as a bus driver. Even at the national level, there is a push to include more women drivers through e-mobility. The national tender, which was released for the procurement of e-buses, mandated the private players to have a specific percentage of women as drivers. However, again, the private players also faced the same issue, which we have talked about above, you know, finding women who are However, the private players also face the same issues which we talked above, finding women who are ready to change the system, who are ready to challenge the social and cultural barriers to work as bus drivers, and also finding women who are having the required criterion is very difficult.
Thank you, Krishna. I think you very well described the frameworks we have to create actually for women to enter the workforce. And Manisha, what from your field experience, what challenges have you seen arise for women?
Krishna has well explained. I will go a little back as well. So, you know, in 2018-19, of the students enrolled in STEM courses, around 45% were women. And between 2017-18 to 19-20, the graduates in STEM courses at various level has increased even for the even the female students. But what is happening is this is not translating the improvement in women's education is not translating into comparable improvement in their work in any sector. So currently, because there is a lack of available data that specifically provides a breakdown of workforce in electric vehicle value chain based on gender. So what we had done is we had analyzed the specific industries and occupation that could constitute a part of EV value chain. And we had included manufacturing, professional, scientific and technical activities and transportation and storage. And this is from the periodic labor force survey done in India at the national level. And we found that together, they constitute only 13.6% of women, out of which 12.8% in manufacturing and only 0.3% in the transportation storage sector. So what this says is that women workers are comparatively better represented in manufacturing sector than transport operations that Krishna has already talked about having less women in as drivers, let's say. And also, there also existing disparity in of women in senior position or executive or leadership levels. Like earlier, Krishna had also mentioned that there are less women have commercial driving licenses. What we also found out that, you know, in 2020, we did a survey with around 800 resource poor women who are engaged at e-rickshaw drivers. And they had also revealed that they find this driving, getting a driving licenses process as a lengthy process. I mean, lengthy as well as expensive. And the use of computers for learners' license tests presents an additional barriers for them because the level of digital literacy among those women who are from the resource poor background are less. The second thing I want to highlight is that though we have, like Krishna mentioned, there are progressive steps like reduction of height adjustments and the required number of years. One more thing is that these heavy vehicle training institutes are located outside of cities at the peripheries and also require these trainees to live on the campus. So this, you know, further discourages women from exploring heavy and commercial vehicle driving as an option. Then apart from that, for all electric vehicles, range anxiety and availability of charging infrastructure remains a key issue for the uptake of electric vehicles. For women, among women, like it could be cars, three-wheelers, two-wheelers, but that is one of the major issues they face. And the last but not least, gender-blind workplaces will persist as a significant obstacle to the advancement of women's participation in all sectors, including transportation as well. So, you know, we had done initial conversation or discussions with companies, or we can say OEMs, who are engaged in providing bus services. And we found that they're reluctant to hire women due to the concerns about additional investments they are required to provide the necessary infrastructure for female employees. So yeah, these are the issues we find, you know, these are the barriers for women to achieve, for us, not only women, for us to achieve gender equity in public transportation, especially in the e-mobility sector.
Thank you, Manisha. This is very illustrative of why actually the public transport sector is rather male-dominated when the incentives and the framework does not exist for women to easily enter. And that's why, Krishna, I think it's important to ask ourselves, how can we collectively empower more women to participate in and also contribute to the e-mobility landscapes? And what steps should be taken to encourage more gender diversity, maybe also what best practices you've seen on the field already exist that we can learn from?
So, Emma, I think we and many of the countries are already in this direction. All the bilats and the multilats are already working on gender inclusion, how gender inclusion can be made a part of most of the transport projects. This is already on the agenda of multilat and bilateral agencies. Even talking about India, even our national and local governments are working towards the same. There is a change in a conversation that you can see even at the national government and even at the city level. So I think while the focus and the agenda is there, there is a need to create an environment which can make women feel more safe and empowered enough to enter the space through workplace policies, amenities, facilities, incentives, training program, through which women can see a career in this sector as well, not just as a job to earn money. You know, to enter a job, I think each woman wants to see a career as well. So I think through a mix of all these initiatives, there we can create an environment through which a woman may also see a career in this space. And of course, you know, there's a need to create an awareness towards the theme on the initiatives that are being planned and the initiatives that are being taken. Bhuvaneshwar is again a good example where our project supported Capital Region Urban Transport, which is the public transit agency of Bhuvaneshwar, in identifying 120 women and transgender beneficiaries and trained them to drive electric rickshaws. Similarly, there's an organization called Namayatri, who have trained women to drive electric autos. The first batch of the women trained are now the trainers who take on this initiative to train more women. I had also recently visited Surat, a city in Gujarat, where it was wonderful to see a transgender monitoring the e-bus operations at the depot. So while considering the regulatory requirements of e-bus driver, it is difficult for a woman to enter the e-bus. I think we are seeing a lot of uptake of women as e-rickshaw driver. So I think this is the first step towards looking at a gender-inclusive transport system. And I think that we will go forward in this direction of seeing more women in the sector soon.
Amazing. It's very encouraging to hear so many best practices already existing and actually changing the field of e-mobility and public transport to become more gender diverse. And maybe Manisha, looking at the bigger picture, what changes or initiatives would you like to see from the policymaking side to foster more gender inclusive environment in e-mobility? And maybe how can they contribute to actually overcoming existing challenges?
I think Krishna has well pointed out the multiple initiatives have been done in different cities. I will try to look at from the national level EV policies. So we actually looked at the electric vehicle policies which were introduced by different states and union territories in India. And it is interesting to see that among these, around six states like Chhattisgarh, Jharkhand, Madhya Pradesh, Odisha, Punjab and West Bengal have incorporated gender perspective. And these initiatives include like providing an additional 5% capital investment to women, so setting up a plant and machinery, high employment generation subsidies to employers for hiring more women employees, mobile charging vans to provide road emergency assistance for charging the vehicle. In West Bengal, they have proposed the establishment of a cohort women drivers or owners of 3-milers to improve last mile connectivity. And, you know, these are the policy, but at the city level, even in Delhi has taken initiatives such as reserving 33% of the auto permits for women. Now, these are the steps in the progressive directions where we can, you know, feel that these are the progressive steps taken by different cities towards, you know, inclusion of gender in e-mobility sectors. I will also try to go a little deeper what Krishna has already mentioned. For example, giving targeted financing subsidies and incentives for women, it can help lead to an uptake in women's usage of electric vehicles, especially among resource poor women, because I think they need support for the entire process. Not only just buying the vehicle, but from getting a driver license to providing training and getting them on board to drive an electric vehicle. It could be any e-rickshaw or buses, etc. Then women, especially resource poor women who want to use electric vehicle as their livelihood, also need support in getting driving licenses. So the linkage between the skilling institutes, industries and NGOs can help in getting the support for women. For example, what had happened in Delhi was that Seva is an membership-based organization for women. They acted as a financer for its female members to purchase and operate e-rickshaw on loan. And the another organization, which is called SMB Green Solution, they supported women through the entire process of getting a learner's license, driving license, providing them training, and then getting them on the road. So this linkage is, I think, important. Then OEMs, they can also provide apprenticeship training schemes for women so that these trainings specifically to women provide gainful employment to them. This education also translates to the employment of women in the EV sector. Specifically, maybe the short-term training courses for women can be prioritized in women-only ITIs, training institutes such as Advanced Electrical Design and Engineering Institute, National Power Training Institute. Now, the other thing is, I think this process of obtaining a license is usually the first barriers towards automobility of women and gender minority, particularly for those women who come from resource-poor background. So therefore, to encourage these women, state government can introduce dedicated counter for women applicants at regional transport offices. They can also provide an option for paper-based tests for learner's license along with a computer-based text. And also, government will also encourage setting up this commercial and heavy license driving institute within urban areas. So, you know, this will ensure that women do not have to stay on campus for the duration of the course. Then I think I earlier also mentioned that EV charging infrastructure is one of the barriers for women. This causes a range anxiety among them. So one is providing these EV charging infrastructure at suitable locations, but also we can think about providing a different levels of charging station. For example, some charging stations can be located near public toilets, well-lit areas or safe environments to ensure that women feel safe while accessing these charging infrastructure. Then some stations, maybe at the higher level, could also have feature like emergency telephone or intercom support, Wi-Fi, mobile phone charging stations, CCTV cameras, or maybe a trained personnel for assistance. So I think this level of charging stations can be explored so that women feel safer while accessing these charging infrastructure.
Thank you, Manisha. Really provide a comprehensive list of initiatives and measures that policymakers can take to really change how public transport works and make it more gender diverse. And maybe as final words, as we wrap up, could you maybe each share your vision for the future of e-mobility and gender equity? Maybe final thoughts, recommendations to our listeners, industry stakeholders, policymakers. Like, this is really open to you describing your vision.
I think a lot of things that Krishna mentioned are my are also similar thoughts. I would also want to say that I think we are at the forefront of this opportunate movement that this electrification of mobility system is creating for us. So I think we should take this opportunity and make our public transportation gender inclusive, along with capturing the opportunities that digitalization of ticketing system is also presenting us. So through the digitalization system of ticketing systems, we can capture the gender disaggregated data and then can use to address service gaps to ensure safer travel for safer and comfortable travels for women.
So I think my vision would be to have a safe and secure environment for all women to work in this space. And also while we are working on trainings, regulatory framework, and different initiatives, we also need to consider the social aspect when we talk about gender inclusion, the challenges which women face at ground to include them, which starts from not just the cultural barriers to also the distance that they need to travel to reach the place of work, because mostly these resource poor women, they do not live in the city center. The work timings also needs to be looked at. So I think that we need to relook at each and every aspect of the bus operation, right from the schedules, infrastructure systems, amenities, and workplace policies to make an environment conducive for women to work and work towards identifying initiatives through which they can see a good career that they can achieve in this sector. Thanks. I think these will be my last words for this podcast.
So I want to thank you both for making the time and for sharing your expertise.
Thank you, Krishna, and thank you, Manisha, for sharing from your rich experience on the field. Also, thank you to our audience for tuning into this insightful podcast, exploring how immobility will pave the way to more gender equity. To stay updated on our future episodes and continue the conversation, be sure to subscribe and follow us on all social media platforms. Until the next time, take care and keep the dialogue going.